You are listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Victoria Smurfit is the ambassador for RNIB, but has been a supporter for much longer, as her father, Dermot Smurfit, has been a vice president for RNIB and a valued donor for over 30 years. Victoria is also one of the leading stars of the modern adaptation that Disney Plus is putting out of the show Rivals, based on Gilly Cooper's 1988 novel. And Victoria joins us now. Victoria, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for coming. I appreciate it.
How does it feel to be able to bring such a, at the time, daring and spicy novel to life in a modern adaptation?
Well, it's like all your Christmases come at once, quite frankly, because I grew up secretly stealing my mother's copy of Rivals and briefly being curious as to why page 82, page 436, page 492... were dog-eared, and then finding out very quickly as to why they were the racy bits. So it was an absolute joy when I heard that this was casting. I did everything in my power to be able to bang down the door and say, I'm Maud, let me in, because I was lucky enough to be able to read it and know the world and the characters from a teenager.
Now, you mentioned you do play Maud O'Hara, Declan's wife, in the show. Now, that Maud is quite an ever-changing and an unconventional character. Can you describe Maud a little bit for us? What is she like? What sort of outfits does she wear? Any particular props that she uses?
Maud is a scurrilous piece. I think it would be fair to say she's quite a selfish lady. She reveres in her fabulosity. She loves attention. She loves applause. She loves love. She's a pretty terrible mother, but in fairness to her, it's just basically because her entire remit, she was a big star in the 70s, huge star. The theatre, she was renowned, and she just doesn't seem to realise that that star is waning somewhat, so she's struggling within herself. She is resplendent in thick, dark red hair. She's big bohemian eyeshadow. She's jewels, big earrings. Every day I got to Ray Holman, who was our costume designer, was extraordinary. He would leave out an array of jewel-coloured, sweetie-like earrings for me to choose from. And the bigger, the better for Maud. She wanted to be spangly. Whereas the whole show is set in the 80s, but because when we did a costume fitting, we realised that Maud should really be in clothes that's sort of indicative of the 70s, because that's where she was at the height of her greatness in her head. So it's more floaty skirts and thick Aran jumpers. And I had this thing where they're living in this incredible stately home, and she hates the fact that they're living in this stately home down in the countryside. She wants to be in London, darling, being fabulous, but instead she's stuck in this priory in Middle England with all these types. And so because the house was dark and dusty and musty and I got her to wear all her glamorous negligees and her twinkly, dangly earrings, but with big, thick, woolly school socks that she's stolen from her husband, Declan, because, damn it, my feet are going to be cold in this hellhole.
How do you feel the show has managed to combine staying to its true material while adapting the show and novel to a modern audience?
You know what I think is very clever about how they've done these episodes is it's all seen through a prism of an acknowledgement that we have very different take on life, sexual politics, the man, the woman today. But it doesn't shy away from the misogyny, from the power plays that were kind of de rigueur back in the 80s. So I think it's done with a really light touch so that you as a modern audience can watch it and think, wow, is that what it was like in the 80s? Wow. Gosh, now I understand my mum better, or my dad better, or my granny. But it's done with such a light touch that you, the audience, can see when characters are doing something that we would now consider wrong, with an understanding and an ability to make a decision. And so it's very lightly done, but it's certainly not condoning any of the 1980s thought process.
Now, the show has audio description, and Disney Plus is also usable with screen readers. How important do you think are these accessibility features to viewers with sight loss?
Well, they're essential. And, you know, God bless technology and God bless the researchers who are not only looking for ways to support those in the sight loss community to be able to look for cures and ways to be able to adapt to what you're dealing with. On top of that, you have the technology that means you're getting all the same, please God, all the same literature and entertainment and joy that storytelling brings. So I think they're vital.
Coming to your work with the RNIB as the ambassador, what inspired you to get involved with the RNIB?
Honestly, at the beginning, it was my dad was a chairman. And he would sort of, Vic, you're emceeing this thing and you're doing this thing. And, you know, when my dad says jump, I say how high, because he is an extremely thoughtful, kind, strong man who loves to give back. So at the beginning it was that. And then because life works the way it does, when my eldest daughter was 12, she was diagnosed with having Stargardt's macular dystrophy, which is a macular degeneration in the center part of the eye. I'm sure you know this, but for your listeners who haven't heard of it before, which I hadn't, even though I'd done some work with RNIB, I'd never heard of Stargardt's. And it means that her retinal cells in the center of her vision are, I guess the way I explained it to her then, where they were blowing up. And so she sees like fireworks in the center of her vision, where her vision should be. So through that process as a mum, when you find these things out about your children as they grow, I had to do as much research as I possibly could. And so that means reading everything there is, listening to everything there is, asking every question. I was straight onto the RNIB saying, what is this? What can I do? Because as a mum, I think you should be able to stand on one leg, hop to the left, jump to the right, and you have a fix. So because there isn't one yet, but I believe firmly there will be, that what I had to do was learn how to empower her in her difference that she has in her life and make sure that she understood that that doesn't take anything away. It just adds to your strength of character and how you go about life. Look at you. You're not stopped. Nothing's stopping you. So why should she stop?
And any current projects and initiatives you are working on that you can share with us regarding your work with the RNIB?
Yes, well, we've got some fundraisers coming up. I also work with other charities, and trying to combine them and have them all work together as a team, to me, makes lots of sense. So, yeah, I'm always asking somebody to give me something so that I can give it to you guys.
A curious question. If you could give a recommendation or a tip to your fellow cast members to make content more accessible, what would it be?
I would say, as you know, I've offered many times, and I would love every actor to think about it. Make yourself available. Make yourself available for the audiobooks. Make yourself available for everything that is possible, the audibles, the everything, so that you give a large community access to your work.
And if people would love to watch Rivals, how and when can they do that?
Ooh, well, if you're in the UK or in Europe, you need to subscribe to Disney Plus like today, make it happen. And if you're in the US, it's Hulu. So it's coming out on the 18th of October. It is the most fun you'll have on your sofa. It's the characters that you've either known and loved or you're excited to be introduced to. They'll all be your best friends within minutes. And the only thing I can apologize for right now is when episode 8 comes to an end and you have to wait for more.
Victoria Smurfit, a.k.a. Maud O'Hara, thank you very much for coming on and talking to us about Rivals and your work with the RNIB here on RNIB Connect Radio.
My complete pleasure.
This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.